Zech Nishmas Avi Mori, Yaakov Ben Yisrael Pinchas, Zech Nishmas Daniel Shena, Basu Yoshua Falk. Okay, good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody. Good morning, Max. Good morning, Avishai. Good morning, Dan.
Morning.
Good morning, Harav Katan. Good morning, Yehuda. Good morning, Yitzchak. Good morning, Ilan. Good morning, Avraham.
Good morning.
Okay. We're continuing in packet Yud Aleph, in Yonei Srara, packet Yud Aleph. Again, this is the packet that Rav Avram Levitt helped me do. Right. We started it last week, and today we'll continue. And Bezer Shem, tomorrow we have one packet left of... In Yom Kippur, one second. Hello, Elliot. I just started shir. Can I call you? Is it something you need right now, or can I call you back? I'll call him back like around in an hour or so. No problem. Okay. And I think we have Lama Dalet still to do, Ilan, right? And then.
We still have Lama Dalet.
And then we'll do the Shailas Lechazara. And then we'll go from there. Okay, so we did last week. We did the packet, the Tshuvas Ramah. It wasn't Tshuvas Ramah. It's in the Tshuvas Ramah that Tshuva from Rav Shaul ben Rav Heschel about having a son-in-law replace the father-in-law, and then we had the same thing that the Beis Yitzchak also had that as well. And Rav Avram Levitt Shlita showed me the Makoros in the Gemara Zvachim about Shaposkin Gedula, Poskin Lo, Ulavanov, Ulazaro, Acharov. So that Rav Avram made a separate packet on that. That's packet 12. So let's take a look in the two tshuvas I wanted to do today on this topic. The Marash Engel, Rav Shmuel Engel, one of the great Gedolim. He was the Rav of Radamshala in Bulgaria.
Which page?
Well, the Sharblad is on page 7. Okay. Hi, Natan. Good morning, Natan. Okay, we're packet, Sarara packet, Yud Aleph, to continuation from last Sunday. Okay? He was considered one of the greatest. Rav Chaim Kalman Gutman told me, he heard from his Rebbe, the Freiman Arav, that the Freiman Arav said that in his lifetime, Freiman Arav is Rav Rafael Zilber, that he said he met three people in his lifetime who knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And that was the Marash Engel, this person, and the Imre Yosher, Rav Meir Arik, and Rav Moshe Feinstein. Those are the three people he said he met in his life who knew Kol HaTorah Kula. And in the world that you fellows are in, I'm sure you heard of Rav Moshe Feinstein, but the Marash Engel, and I don't know if you necessarily heard of. So you have on your computer a little background of the Marash, Marash Engel. Somebody has on their Wikipedia or their...
I'll look him up for a second.
Yeah, then look it up and tell us a little about his background. Rav Shmuel Engel.
Is he the author of the Shem Shmuel?
No. Shem Shmuel was the son of the Sukachover, Rav Shmuel Bornstein.
The same sefer as Shem Shmuel in the Surah Hadar.
Yeah, there's a Kuntra Shem Shmuel, right, but it's Shud Marash, Marash Engel. There's huge volumes, and we have them in the library. You see it, Ilan?
Rabbi, I don't currently see anything. Let me see. I'm going to keep looking.
You have Shmuel Engel. E-N-G. Yeah, I'm sure you can find it. Good morning, Avi Arbersfeld. Good morning, nice to see you.
Rebbe, did he live in the 1850s? He was born
Maybe.
Okay.
What does it say?
I think I found something. Let me see. One second. I saw something a second ago about him. Let me see. It says, it says a town rabbi. Was he from Poland's Rebbe?
Radomislav.
Yeah,
Radomislav, right. That's what I see here.
So what are you reading?
It says here, it's known was, let me see, the town rabbi at the time was reported to have been Shmuel Engel.
Right.
The second, right, it's talking about the Jewish community.
Where?
In Radomislav. Radomislav, right.
Which was where?
I think in Poland.
Uh-huh.
That's what it says. Yeah, it says, it's speaking about Poland. It has a few sentences about him. Rebbe, when I find it exactly, I'll let you know.
Okay.
The exact sentences.
Okay. Okay. So let's take a look at the tshuva, what the tshuva is about, on page 8. Again, this is the packet that we started last week, where we said that the din of having a son take over the rabbanus is not only a son, but even a son-in-law, right? So take a look here, on page 8. Yikroso hagsan v'simacht v'shlomo tov v'ashiv al shiloshim v'nei kol odo shabomokom echad niftar haravzal. Third line. In a certain community, the rabbi passed away. Velo hayu lo banim. And he didn't have any sons. Rak bas achas. He only had a daughter. Shebalahu talmichachem godol v'yirei Hashem beforsam. And he had one daughter who was married to a big talmichachem. Kvahu rav b'yir echad kamashonim. And he already was a practicing Rav in another community for several years. So now he wants to take over the position of his father-in-law. But other people in the community want another person to fill, not the son-in-law. In other words, the other rabbi has a lot of knowledge of different languages. So people, I guess, some people like that. That he's...
Page 8. Okay.
You have it? You see it?
Rabbi, I found something about him.
Yeah, okay. Ilan, what do you say?
Okay. So the Gaon, he's actually, I made a mistake, he's from Tarnow, Poland. Tarnow. It says the Gaon was born in Tarnow, Poland in 1853. His father, the Hasidic Rabbi Zev Wolf, died when he was an infant. His mother, Esther, determinedly brought her sons up, thoroughly trained in the ways of God and the Torah. Their mentor was the Gaon Rav Chaim Halberstam from Sanz, the Divrei Chaim. Then it continues.
So he's like a Talmud of the Divrei Chaim.
That's what it says here. That's what it says.
Okay. So really, we should do the Chaim Tshuva. See, we should really do first, but we started this one, so we'll go from Talmud to Rebbe, you know.
Right, and it adds a little more. It says he was from a very young age was considered a great Eloi. He was looked upon as a wonder child when his holy ways had been noted. Everyone expected him to become a great authority later on. When 14 years old, he was already thoroughly versed in most of the Talmud. He was known as the Eloi from Tarnow. Even then, he had already known by the heart books of the gracious one of Yehuda, Sarah the book. He was used to say that their authors were sent from heaven to lead the people of Israel with halachot.
So Tarnow, where was Tarnow?
Tarnow was in Poland. I think it was in southern Poland, southeastern Poland. It was for sure in Poland. It says here that Tarnow was one of the largest Jewish, it was
Nazi occupation later on. It was one of the cities in Poland, I think.
Okay. Okay, so getting back. So the son-in-law, you know, wanted to take over, but other people wanted this other person to take over because maybe he was more worldly. He was melumad bilshonos shonos. He was, you know, he had the knowledge in various languages. The other person, not the son-in-law. So the question is, does if it would be the son, then for sure he would have the ability to take over. But it's just the son-in-law. So again, we saw the tshuva last week that even a son-in-law has kedima, but now let's see what the Marash Engel says. So the son has a mishpat kedima, chayna minig barov tefusis Yisrael. The emes, yesh lo medachar shahminig kain shuv yesh b'zez chus gamo pidin. In other words, the question is it a real din or it's just a minhag? In other words, that's a big difference because if there's a minhag, if this is the minhag, then it could become a din based on the minhag, you know, there's a din to follow the minhag, right? Or is it a real din? But then, you know, based on that, then it could be also that, like today, in most shuls today, it's not the minhag, right? Right? Fakir, in some shuls, they even write in the contract that that the successor of the rabbi cannot be a relative, right? There are shuls like that. They write that the success. So are these shuls going against halacha? Well, they're saying no. Maybe the whole halacha is just a minhag. So they're saying that we don't have this minhag. But if it's a real din, so then they don't have a right to say that, right? Then, because if it's a real din, then you can't say, well, we're not following the din. Yeah. So he's saying that it could be it's just a minhag, but even if it's just a minhag, but if that's the minhag, that becomes the din, because it's a halacha to follow the minhag. Shuv yesh b'zeh zuchos gamo pi din Torah, d'kvar kasavdi b'tshuva, d'hanechku, yicholim zayin tu ve'ir l'sakei b'may d'ikip seh d'lahai. Whereas there's a concept, the Gemara and Megillah, of the zayin tu ve'ir. That's like, some want to say it's like the board of directors, you know? It's like the seven people in the community who are like the board. And they could do different things. And even so though certain things they do, there might be a detriment to somebody. But since they're working for the betterment of the whole community, then they could make, you know, enactments. Because of Ramah, they'll call upon him, mitzad ha-minag, yicholim l'sakit. And the Ramah says, mitzad ha-minag, they could make different takanos. Chasavti be'emes, then he says, divrechayim, shem chosno, v'chasavti be'emes, shut, say to ve'en yicholim l'mkor beis knesses, shem yesh lomar dal dover, gol chazal lo nitnu l'am schus. The Chasav Sofer says, but they're limited. They can't do everything. In other words, if they decide they want to sell the shul, so the Chasav Sofer says, that's maybe beyond their scope of the Zayin Tuvei Ha'ir. Hey, Deish Lomu Fina Shukozu B'Rashbam, L'manda Omer Ein Holchi B'Mamon Achar Rov, V'mkein In Be'ema Zovin L'Radya, Hayolo L'Hasnos, She'edah Shalo Yoyel HaRov L'Hay, V'Lohisna, Ki'ed Be'ema Zovin Gam L'Shchita. אם כן, הכנה מקודם שנוגד יכולים זוין טובי אל לסקין, אף במידי די שפסד יחיד, אם שפי היה מוגם לומר, לא נוסלו על זה כוח לזוין טובי אל לסקין. ולא היה אין שיעיר להסנוס על זה, וגם בסדום אין בכוחם להפסיד מומן של יחיד. אחר שהמינג יכולים לסקין להפסיד ליחיד, אם כן, אם לא רוצה אין שיעיר לתן להם כוח לזה, אלא מהסנוס. In other words, sometimes they have the ability to make takanas, but if when they were appointed, the community says, we don't want you, then they could do that too. In other words, the community could to tell them that even though they have, really they have the right to make some takanos, even though it might be to the detriment to certain people, but they could also stipulate on the, when the board members are appointed, that that they don't have that ability. Because since they normally do have it, then they, if they want them not to have it, they, the people in the community have to stipulate that. So, last line. If you accept a rabbi in the community, and they tell him that he's going to, that his sons are going to be his successors, if they stipulated, in other words, here he's saying if they stipulated that that it's even the sons afterwards, then it's a stipulation. So from this, it's mashma maybe that they, you, that, see, this line is mashma that you have to stipulate. It's not just automatic. Page 9, top line. Because they were makabel, that they're going to, right? So let's skip a little bit. Aval, last paragraph. Aval, al kol ponim acharish haminig lekabel gam esbonav acharav, he came istoma dadaitim min haga kiblu. But if, in other words, even if they didn't stipulate, but if that's, you see, this makes a big difference, because he's saying that the minig then was to have the son, you know, be the successor. And even if you didn't stipulate, whenever you appoint a rabbi, we assume you're following the minig, whatever the minig is. See, according to this, it would be, make a big difference, because today, you know, I told you, most shuls that, in other words, obviously in private shuls, well, private shuls, you own the shul. Like some rabbanim, they own their shul. You know, More like the shtiebel type of situation where you, it's your, you know, if I own my shul, then it's nothing to talk about. You know, I own my shul. It's a private shul. I own it. We're not talking about private shuls. We're talking about, it's not a private shul. But if the minhag then was to the son is appointed, then that's binding. Even if you didn't stipulate, because we assume that people are following whatever the minhag is. The Gadol Koach HaMinhag. See? Gadol Koach HaMinhag. Bez Hashem, if I write another sefer on Minhagim, I should have a chapter on Rabbanus. Gadol Koach HaMinhag, Mufurash B'Shas. Dvigo Nog Vigilu Mahani. Koparim Ima Balabais, Lo Kiblu Rak Oso Levado. But in other words, and therefore, if that's the minug, and they appoint him without stipulation, so then the minug applies. If they say they want to stipulate that if Mishana the minug, then he's saying he's mashma that they could do that. Which is interesting. In other words, he's saying that it's not necessarily automatic, but if you don't stipulate, so therefore, if today, again, in the whole world that most of you are operating in, you know, it's not the minhag, right? It's not the minhag. As I told you, so Mistama, even if it wouldn't be in the contract, it could be that it's not, it's, you know, it's not binding. But certainly, he's saying even if it is the minug, when you hire him, you stipulate that it shouldn't be the case over here. Then he says that you have a right to. Right. In other words, you can stipulate. You could make, which is interesting, because you might think maybe that's masna mashakosu b'Torah. Whereas I can't stipulate that I'm going to lend you money, and the rules of ribbis won't apply. Right? Could you do such a thing? Of course not. That's called masna mashakosu b'Torah. The Torah says the rules of ribbis do apply. I can't. So obviously, it must be that. Even the Yerusha Barabbanus is not a real, it's not a full type of Yerusha. It's not like when you Yarshin money from that's a real Yerusha. This is like a quasi type of thing. It's more like a minhag. And therefore, if you don't stipulate otherwise, the minhag is binding. But you can stipulate that it's not binding. Which is interesting. Right, so that's all he sets down the legwork now of the situation. In other words, there is a minug, I have the son, and the minug is chal, and even if you didn't stipulate the minug, you don't have to because that's the minug. But since that's the minug, and everyone knows it's the minug, so if you want it, you can counter the minug by saying you want to stipulate that it shouldn't be binding in this case. Which is very fascinating, because that was like the discussion we had by Chazaka b'Mitzvahs, right? We saw from what Rabbi Kellerman pointed out to me at Max's wedding, which we finally got to the Lechem Shlomo, that they made a stipulation that in his shul he doesn't want any Chazakas to apply in terms of, like, you can't say, well, I got Chasen Torah last year, or Chasen Breishis, so I have the right to it this year. He says, no Chazakas. So that's what Rabbi Bleich was, what I discussed with, who says they have a right to it. So I think Rav Gutman thought they do. Because it could be these are like quasi things, you know what I mean? And if you stipulate, then it's not like full Yerusha, or full types of things. It could be that Marash Engel works in well with that Lechem Shlomo that he said. Because normally we say there's a Chazaka b'mitzvahs. There is Chazaka b'mitzvahs. Okay, so let's go on now. Aval kol ze im yesh b'ir od rov anoshim shekiblu es harav ha-manoach sheyesh lomar. So now the question is like this. When they stipulated with this rabbi who passed away, right? They stipulated with him that if they stipulated with him that his son will take over. But the question is like this. That happened 80 years ago. The Balabatim who stipulated. Now it's all new people. So do they have a right? Do they have a chiv to, based on the original stipulation or no? It says, Aval kol ze im yesh b'ir od rov hanashim asher kiblu es harav hamanoch sheyesh lomar shechayvu af legabei banov. In other words, if they still, the congregants are still, the majority of the congregants are the people who made the condition with the deceased rabbi, so then it's still binding. But if most of the people there today are moved into the neighborhood, much later, They moved in. They weren't there at the original inauguration of the old rabbi who just was nifter. So it could be that the stipulation that their fathers made with this rabbi maybe is not binding. So then it goes like this. So if it's a real halacha that is Yerusha Barabbanus. So there's like there's Yerusha by money, the son. So then it's a Yerusha. But if it's just a minhag, so then, you know, if it's not a full din, so then maybe it only applies to the people who actually made the stipulation. But if they're not here anymore, and most of the congregation is new people, so then maybe it's not binding. So if it's a real halacha, Yerusha Barabanus, Yerusha Srara, so then he gets it. Even if it's not a real halacha, but if most of the Balabatim are the ones that who are here now, who are the ones who made the stipulation, he also gets it. But if it's not a real halacha, and most of the Balabatim who made the original stipulation with the rabbi are no longer alive, because now it's all new people, then it wouldn't necessarily be binding on this new crowd. Okay, so that's all if there would be a son. But here there's no son. Here it's just a son-in-law. So again, last week we saw in the tshuva, in the end of the tshuva's Ramah, that a son-in-law also has status. So let's see what he says now. This is the Shut Ramah, the end of the Shut Ramah that we saw last week. The Gam Chosno Zoche B'Schus HaRabonis, right? Last week we saw that even a son-in-law, because a son-in-law is considered the offspring, even though he's not a blood relative to his father-in-law, but basically he's going to have, you know, his offspring is the grandchildren. So he was a conduit to have the grandchildren. So that's considered Zara Acharav, right? Avram Levitz Gemara in Zvachim. That poskim lo gedula, the Gemara says in Zvachim that Avram Levitz pointed out, that she poskim lo gedula, poskim lo Zara Acharav. So son-in-law is Zara Acharav. Davdim Fursh Barambam, the Basein, Yereshes, Shum Sororim, Ke Lord of Koch Abal Mikoch Isha. But the question is, a daughter doesn't yarshin Srora of the father. Ach be'emes kosov aposu b'lav hachi ein berabonis toros Yerusha. Davidovish ein bo'mamish. So he says he thinks it's not real Yerusha. Yerusha means you yarshin money, you yarshin a house, you yarshin tangible things. But a job is not a tangible thing. It's not an item. You understand? It's not a physical item. So it's not real Yerusha. It's Dovash Ebo Mamish. So it's a privilege. So it's not real Yerusha. HaKolparim Kolzman Shalokiblo Oso Eilos Chuz Mama Bezeh. Yeah. Kolzman Shalomosu Liara Gizmar Rechiv. Yeah. Kame Shem Bezeh in Yerusha Yisrael Mamela. Raya. Yeah. Top line on page 9 on the left side. In other words, it's not a real Rush, it's like something that the father would have wanted. So if the father would have wanted, just like the father wants the son, so the son-in-law is also. So it's part of the Kavod HaTorah. So if it would be real Yerusha, then there's no Yerusha by a daughter. So this son-in-law is not a Yorish. He's coming from the daughter. And if so it wouldn't be a real Yerusha. There's no Yerusha Srara. By Malcolm Chalik the Basi and Yerusha Sror. I mean to say there's no Yerusha of Srara by the daughter. That's what I meant to say. No Yerusha of Srara by the daughter. Kinyeshlomo Tchalchiyot Gam Le'inyan Chosno. And he says that the minhag is in most places that they mekabel the son-in-law if he's roy. So therefore, so the Chassam Sofer says the hudin b'mokum the leka ben gam nega chosno leka din matzranas imkain shuvchei chassavad the mstaba beisha kiblo sarav azok and kiblo also lufi minhag lekabel. So therefore, if you want to say it's not a real din Yerusha, that it's a din of minhag, and the minhag apparently in that locale the minhag was to accept the son-in-law. So that was the minhag. So if that's the minhag, meaning now it becomes the halacha, because the halacha is you're supposed to follow the minhag. In other words, there are two halachas. There's one, the halacha is the halacha. And I didn't mean to say the Bas is not never a Yorish. I mean, in this case of Sarar, if there's no son, whatever. But the question is, not everyone wants him. So he could say that if it's not a real thing, it's not a real Yerusha, it's just a minhag, so then one could say that maybe if the other candidate is much bigger, much more qualified, even though the son is qualified, but this person is much more qualified, then maybe we could give it to the other person. But the case over here, the son-in-law was qualified. The other person wasn't more qualified. The only qualification he had was he knew more languages. In other words, the only thing that they liked, he knew more languages, so for some, that was an appeal for certain people, that this other rabbi, the outsider rabbi, knew more languages. So he says that that's not a good enough reason. He says, "Im hu yisim manal rav betach yanig ha'ir al dake ator va'ira hadavar boru poshet shalom mishpat hakadima." Frad lazov as chazan rav azokim l'kabel rav achim b'shmei sheish lidius b'chokmach chitzonius. The Iker of Kabbalah Sadav is that he's a Talmud Chacham, he's a Rei Hashem. So he should get it. And this idea that they wanted to give to the other person, who was an outsider, just for the only reason that he had more knowledge in certain languages, I guess, again, you know, in America, maybe you could understand that. In America, you know, if he doesn't speak English, so he's not going to be able to relate to the people. So I can understand. But he's talking about, you know, obviously this tshuva wasn't written for the American audience. It was written for a European audience. And why necessarily, what was the necessity that it wouldn't necessarily make him a better... But some people, you know, whatever, you know, have, you know, like the rabbis, you know, more, whatever, you know, but he doesn't think that's a reason to disqualify the son-in-law. So he, Ramar Shengel Paskin, that the son-in-law, maybe it's only Midin Minug, but that was the Minug, and therefore that becomes the Din, and therefore, okay, maybe if the other person was much more qualified in Torah, then maybe we could forego the minhag. But that wasn't the case. And therefore, he paskin that the son-in-law gets the position of his father-in-law.
Okay, how would that minhag come about? Meaning, would that have to be through a chazaka? Or, meaning, how was that a minhag established?
The minhag of what?
Meaning that the son-in-law can take over.
I guess that was what the communities were doing throughout the years. That was what the
community or that specific community?
No, the communities in general. the communities in general, that's what, you know, they were doing. They would give it to the son or the son-in-laws. I guess this is not the only case where the rabbi didn't have you know, this is Rabbi Teitz in Elizabeth. So I was sitting once at a wedding with Rabbi Elozer Meir Teitz, the son of Rav Pinchas Teitz, the original Rabbi Teitz. And he said that the original Rav was Rabbi Preil. You know, was the Rav in Elizabeth, Rabbi Preil, Elozer Meir Preil. And he had a daughter, and he, I forget when they made some tanai that they would wait for, after he passed away. I forget when they made the tanai, but they made a tanai that after he passes away, the Rav, they would wait to see if the daughter would marry somebody who would be qualified, then they would give him the position. And she married Rabbi Teitz, and he became the Rav of Elizabeth. So he, I think Rabbi Teitz Jr. told me that he never met his father-in-law. In other words, Rabbi Pinchas Teitz never met his successor, his son-in-law, because he died.
What?
So I don't know how long it took. You know, how long it took for her to get engaged to, you know, to Rabbi Teitz. But apparently it wasn't so long. You know, he came, they made the shidduch, and then he became the rabbi. He was the son-in-law. So, you know, so they had this idea of the son-in-law becoming the Rav. And that was Elizabeth. Elizabeth was founded based on Rabbi Preil. And then he passed away, and his daughter married Rabbi Teitz, who became the Rav. And he was the son-in-law. And the community respected that wish, that they would wait to see who, like someone said to me, I don't know today whether, you know, people would do that, you know, say, you know, have a daughter, wait till, see who she marries. I don't know how well that would go today, but, especially in those days, you know, the concept of Yerushas and Rabbanis, today, You do have, like, by rebbes, you have it, and also you have it by, you know, like, in shtiebels and things like that. But in, like, young Israels and things like that, sometimes you have it. Sometimes you have the son, you know, becomes. You do have it sometimes, but in general, not. And I told you, in some shuls, it's stipulated in the contract that the new rabbi should not be a relative. In modern America, you know, democracy and, you know, things like that, people can't, it's not so easy for people to buy into that today. Okay, so that is the truth of the Marash Engel. So basically, he's working, you know, that maybe it's a din, maybe it's a minug, and then the minug, you should keep the minug, unless there's reason not to. But the fact that the one person had more knowledge in languages, he didn't think that was a reason to not keep the minug. And therefore, he paskin that they should give the rabbanus to the son-in-law. Okay, let's do one more tshuva now. The Divrei Chaim, Rav Chaim Sanza. So what was the story here? Rav Chaim Sasso Shadruyo. Menido Hashela Me'arabonis Dekal Radi. It could be this is the same, I mean, this was the same place where the Marashengo, right? This is the... So they had this Rav. V'acharav Yorosh Kvodo Beno Acharav L'Rav Anal. So then they, his son became the rabbi. One second. Shahiel Larav Umor Zakin Tamachach Muflog Bedoro. So then they had this big Tamachachim, he passed away, and then his son became the rabbi. And then the son passed away. But there was he didn't have anyone who was ready to go into the Rabbanus at that point. And his nephews were too young. So his brother-in-law took over. In other words, there was the old rabbi passed away, the son got it, so the son didn't have anyone at that point, and the nephew's not, so they gave it to the brother-in-law. I mean, it went from father, son, to son-in-law. That's how it went. The father gave it to the son, the son passed away, and there was the next generation wasn't ready, either I don't know if he had sons, or at that point, or they weren't old enough, so there was no son, there was no nephew, so then they went, you know, horizontal, and they gave it to the original rabbi's daughter's husband, which was the brother-in-law of the second rabbi. V'kibel giso chosen harav azaken hanal es harabonis me'atzmo b'lo shum chasima v'snag rabonis kama shonim. So again, it went from the old rabbi to his son, now to his son-in-law, right? And then he passed away, the son-in-law. So now, how do they go? Do they go now to the original rabbi? So now there was a son of the son who was ready to, I guess he wasn't old enough at the time. So now the third generation, the rabbi, the son, and the son's son is ready. So again, that's the question. So now the grandson is ready. Do we give it to the grandson? Or do we say someone else? Or do we say, well, once the chain was broken, right, because they didn't go from grandfather, son, grandson. They went the grandfather, then his son, and then the son-in-law. So maybe they should give it to the son-in-law's son, right? And not to the son's son. So he says, the first three, Chol Aroi L'Yorsha Kodem L'Chol Odom B'Chol Minuim Rak Ben Beno Kodem L'Mkom Mokom Amayim B'Bir Yired Lav Davki Ben Beno Hu Adin Chol Aroi L'Yorsha. In other words, we say should the grandson get the Yerusha, or should we say that already the chain was broken? Because it didn't go from grandfather, you know, first generation, second generation, third generation, went from the first generation to the second generation, and now horizontally to the son, he went from the grandfather to his son, to his son-in-law. But now the son-in-law died. So, and now the third generation is ready. So how does it work? In other words, so his the third generation, his name was Pinchas. So he says that he wasn't ready at the time. He was too young. So his uncle, you know, the son-in-law, his uncle took over, went from the father to the son, to the son-in-law, who's the uncle of this third generation. So he says, so and it could be that they stipulated that that's going to happen. You know, like by Rebbes it could happen. You know, it can be, the Rebbe can be 5 years old, but he's not ready to be Rebbe at 5 years old. So they have to appoint someone else in the meantime. And then he can become Rebbe. You know, but he can't make the five-year-old a Rebbe. You know, doesn't work that way. But you can make him Rebbe on hold. Then we'll put someone else in for 20 years, let him grow up, and then... So first of all, you know, it was, you know, that's the way they stipulated. Furthermore, even if it wasn't right to appoint the uncle, the son-in-law, but why should he lose, you know, the grandson lose his? And he says, you know, the famous Gemara Brachas, Rabbi Yeshua and Rama Gamliel. You know, they had a machloik. Rabbi Gamliel was the head of the Nasi of the Sanhedrin. So, he lost his position because they didn't think he acted properly to Rabbi Yeshua. Right? You all learned the fourth parak of Brachas. And then they pointed Rabbi Loza ben Azariah. But then he made good with him. Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua made up. So now they were going to appoint him back. Because Rav Gamliel was the Yarshin. V'chol kevin Rav Gamliel kedin hariduhu kibur b'shas v'hivsik achar imkei shuvein mal yusu b'zeh shu ben mazeh shekvar nisman achal pidin. So what do we say? Rav Gamliel was the lineage, and then he lost the position to Rav Loza ben Azariah. But now he made up with him, and now he's ready to be reappointed. And then they reappointed him. They made, Rabbi Gamliel should be in charge certain weeks, and Rabbi Lozer 2 weeks, and he'll be in charge 1 week. Yeah. Came in the wheel on the left side, bottom paragraph, second arrow, page 12, second arrow. Came in the wheel. Hey, Abimali Mokam Avosov. Right, Rabbi Gamliel was the heir apparent, and then he lost it, but then they made up. So you don't say now he's pushed away. He can come back. But you can't take away Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah also, because that's Malim Bekodesh Ve'Maridim. So they made a deal that how they would do it. So he would do most of the weeks Rabbi Gamliel, and some weeks Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would do it. But Rabbi Gamliel was the Yorish, was the son. So you see from that Gemara, it says the Divrei Chaim, that just because somebody else was appointed in between doesn't take away the chain. So just because he had the case that the Divrei Chaim was dealing with, that it was first the son was appointed, but then the son didn't have a child old enough, so now they appointed the son-in-law, and now it goes back to the grandson, who's the nephew of the previous. So just because someone was appointed in between doesn't take away the ability of continuing the lineage. So over there, he wasn't old enough there. Rabbi Gamliel was penalized because they did not like how he treated Rabbi Yeshua. So therefore, in the end, what they said, he'll do 3 weeks. He'll be the chidich lochos or shnei zemun mila. Rabbi Gamliel shloshos shabosos echad mikoch malas avosov kem sheish lo rovesu b'zam malah the malim akodesh. Achim be yeah. Was er adif maches chesavosav. Mele magilo or hashab shlishis. In other words, they can't do two and two. You have to have one to be the main one. Because he was the heir apparent. Hayotzi lanu was zesha ein reshus l'shum adam l'hasig vol or ein rapinchus. So he says the grandson gets it. In other words, if they went from the grandfather to the son, then to the son-in-law, and now the son-in-law died, now goes back to the third generation, to the grandson, even though there was an interruption in the middle. So he becomes the Rav. Ach ben yonei ha-pras v'si the kedushin su'ez brismi l'kano g'var m'otzi amur b'tshuva sh'arachti l'rav ha-zokin ha-niftar m'sham t'avinu d'ati im tirtzu l'ayim v'dover ach b'mshel t'arabonis ein shus l'shum odom b'idas torah kedosh l'zkomim neged ha-rav v'pilchus. So what was he saying? Again, I didn't see that tshuva. Shut Ori V'Yishi, Avram Levit, maybe we should look it up. Ori V'Yishi Simon Tzadi Zayin. Because, you know, in Kehilas, you know, Seder Kedushin is, like, one of my Talmidim gets married in Crown Heights in 770. He wanted me to be Masada Kedushin. It doesn't work that way. Because that's a Kehila. In the Kehila, the Seder Kedushin is only to official people in the Kehila. The Rav or some other person who's in charge of the Seder Kedushin. You can't just say, oh, I want my Rebbe. If you want to make a wedding in the Marina del Rey, you can have whoever you want. But if you want to make a chasen in the steps of 770 in Crown Heights, or in Kiryas Yoel, the real Kehilas, then it's only the official Rabbonim can be Masada Kedushin. So he's saying that when it comes to who's the Rav, then for sure this Pinchas, the third generation, gets it. But he's saying maybe for Seder Kedushin, no, it's not clear what he's saying. We'd have to look it up, that tshuva. Maybe he's saying for other things, they could still give it to someone else. But for the Iker of the Rabbanus of the Kehila, just because the uncle got it, the son-in-law, it went from the father to the son, to the son-in-law, and now to the grandson. He's the Rav. It doesn't matter that someone was mafzik in between, just like Rabban Gamliel. He became the Nasi, and then Rabban Elazar ben Azari became the Nasi, and then Rabban Gamliel got it back. So the Rabban Elazar ben Azari was mafzik in between. So what? He gets it back, because he's the lineage. And that's the Divrei Chaim. Now, it could be, I would have to look up, I never looked up this tshuva Ori V'Yishi. Maybe Avram Levit will help me to find out what it is. But that's, so we still have to hear two fascinating tshuvas, the tshuva of the Marash Engel and the tshuva of the Divrei Chaim, both talking about, you know, son-in-laws and grandchildren. One was the issue of the son-in-law taking preference to someone else, We said, just like we said last week, that this is what the Lord does. And then we had the idea if something got in between, there was someone who took over, not in the lineage, and now we're ready to go back to the lineage. We don't say once the lineage stopped, then it's already subverted elsewhere. We say, no, you continue back to the lineage. So if it went from the grandfather to the son, and now to the son-in-law, it didn't go directly from the grandson to the son to the next son, grandson, son, grandson, that someone else had it in between. It doesn't matter, because you see from that Gemara in Brachas that it went from Rabbi Gamliel to Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah and then back to Rabbi Gamliel. Okay, wow. Okay, so this is, thank you, Rabbi Aram Levitt, who helped last week to make this packet with me. And that's a tremendous thing. Okay, so let me say hello to everybody. Let's put everyone on there, see everybody, and I'll wish everyone a good day. Yeah, Hootie's going to help me to put everyone on. Okay, Rabbi Yitzchak Carroll, how are you? Okay, good to see you. Natan, how are you?
Good, how are you, Rabbi?
Good, how's Shabbos? Good?
Good, very nice.
Good. And Max?
Hi, Rabbi.
Good. And Avi Arbersfeld?
Okay, Rabbi, good morning.
Good to see you. Avishai Samoa? Good to see you. Evan Goldman, how are you?
Good morning, Rabbi.
Okay. Ilan, good to see you. Rav Katan, good to see you. Rav Avram Levitt, Shlita. We have to look at that tshuva from Shilas and Tshuvas, Ori V'Yishi.
Yeah, I'm on it.
Okay. And Gilad Badner, Shlita, how are you?
How are you?
Okay, Danny Lou.
Good morning, Rabbi.
Good morning. Good. Yehuda Shitris.
Hi, Rabbi.
Good. Jacob Silberger.
Hi, Rabbi.
Okay, it's good to see you all. So tomorrow at 11:15, tomorrow Bezer Shem at 11:15. Okay,
have a good day, Rabbi.
It's great to see you all, and okay.
Have a great day,
Rabbi. Okay, be well. So good to see you all, and Bezer Shem will continue tomorrow. We have one more packet to do, and then we're going to go to the Chazara questions. That'll take us a nice amount of time. Then we'll do other inyanim, etc. So I'm looking forward to seeing you all. Bez Hashem, you should all be well. Zay gesund.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Have a good day.